We're back from recess. The next order of business is the Castle Rock Community Improvement District. Daryl, would you join us either at the table or at the podium? Gentlemen, some weeks ago we were approached with a petition regarding a community improvement district, a CID. With that was an explanation of what a CID was, what the powers of a CID was, and a lot of questions have been raised during that time and process, and said meetings have been put off until today. And Gross and Associates, representing the CID, are approaching us to see if, in fact, we will approve the petition that was presented. And, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Daryl, approve an ordinance, if you will, establishing said district.
Correct.
Could you explain to us where we are in that process and what you're formally asking for today?
Okay. Thank you, sir. On May 31st, you held the required public hearing on the CID and took public comment as required. After the public hearing, the commission may approve the petition for the CID. You can make or add any additional conditions upon the CID that the commission feels worthy and needed. You have before you a prepared commission order that approves the petition as is, with no further limitations or requirements. I will restate for a moment the immediate impact on any other of the county in terms of the other office holders as far as duties. The following actions, once the CID is approved, would be the district would have to have an election. Well, first the board has to meet, pass a resolution to impose the tax they're asking, and we notify the county clerk, just like any other political subdivision. And there's a 10-week period in which before the election can be held. The election would be a mail-in ballot. Once the election is approved, then the board would have to take action to impose the tax. There is currently no sales tax in the area, so it would not have an immediate impact. And if the election passes, the property tax could not be imposed until 2012 because all the tax books have to be settled by September 1. So the only actions of the immediate office holders would be the assessor putting upon the county records is the political boundaries for the CID, creating a map on its records and denoting the property within it is within the CID. That's the only task. There would be no collections being done for 2011. Once the commission approves the order, then the CID is officially created, and then it must go through the steps of having the elections, and all of their meetings are held in our public meetings, just like your meetings would be. So any actions they take would be open to the public.
Is the appointment of the board purely administrative, and that's handed down to the presiding commissioner to appoint, or does the presiding commissioner have latitude in whom is appointed?
Yes. First off, there's a choice when you're creating a CID under the petition method. One is to request that the chief elected official of the entity creating, either the county, in your case, the presiding commissioner, or if it were a city, the mayor, to appoint the board members that are eligible, subject to the approval of the remaining commission. Or you can, if you ask within the petition, you can call for an election, which means that if anyone is qualified, could file for the election just like you would file for county office, and there would be then an election held within that district to elect those officials. That becomes pretty cumbersome and difficult, and So we've chose, and my recommendation is allow the county, in this case, to appoint. Your latitude is the following by state law. They can either be, one, a resident that living within the district. Number two, they either run or operate a business. Doesn't mean they own property, but I could be renting a hot dog stand and I'd be eligible, or own property. So you got three choices of which to choose from within that district. And in any subsequent appointments in years future, from that pool of people, the presiding commissioner could choose. Typically what happens in CIDs where it's limited property owners, they'll submit to the commission or to the presiding commissioner a list of people to choose from. You know, they can make the choice or they can choose someone as long as they fit those three criteria.
All right. Explain to me then why there's a provision in here that one individual shall, and it uses the word shall, nominate who will serve in those positions.
Talk about it in the petition?
It's in the paperwork you gave us this morning under Section 7, Qualification of Directors.
Go to the verbiage here.
I don't have a problem with any name that's listed, but there is, and there are, a list of names that are listed, and the verbiage is pretty clear. It says shall be. It doesn't really give latitude as I see it.
Where are you at now?
Yeah.
I'm down under subsection 3 under number 7, qualification of directors, on page 3.
Gotcha.
He is requesting any other qualifications which the petition can set forth qualifications that the nominations would be coming from Mr. Jamil. You could strike that from it.
No, I'm just asking. It seems to me that it's in conflict with...
It is, and I find conflict that it could be challenged in court, and I told him so. If someone wanted to, you know, futuristically challenge it, I don't think it could supersede state law. That's what he wanted in.
Well, then let me ask you this question, Darrell. What else is contained within this ordinance that is in conflict with Missouri law?
None. That's the only one. He felt and didn't understand. He said, well, I'm going to be putting all this together. I'm going to be putting all the money. I want to be sure that, you know, the CID is running in the manner that I want. And I said, I understand that. But, you know, you're dealing with a public entity. So he... I think I may have shared with you, the gentleman is pretty thorough, and he had to read the CID statutes through and through, and he read the provisions of which it said, and any other qualifications the district may impose. So he, in his interpretation, that would be an eligible condition. I don't think so, in my opinion, but I'm not an attorney. The fact that you are dictating the provision. Had he said that the person had to be 24 years old, had to have lived here for 10 years, that would withstood. But basically allowing and granting him the dictates to me is in conflict. That's what the intentions of any other qualifications would have meant. Certain things that, like age or residency, et cetera. Like cities oftentimes will have ordinances that say to serve on planning and zoning, you have to have lived in the county, in the city for 5 years or some term like that. That's what I think was meant. And there's been no case law to challenge it. That was the same lecture I gave him.
Second question, follow-up. The five names that have been presented for what the initial board will be, apparently, it also indicates that they are registered voters. Are these five individuals registered voters within the county, as the petition declares?
No, they're appointed. These None of them are registered in Cheney County.
I understand, but a qualification of director, it states here that they must be a registered voter of Cheney County. It says a registered voter residing within the district.
Where are you reading from?
Okay, I'm
Section
on
B.
Number 7, qualification of directors, subsection 3, on page 3.
Subsection 2.
I'm sorry, subsection 2.
B.
E. Either an owner is defined, or the real property or business operating.
My apologies. So there is an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because these five are the legal appointed representatives of the property owner.
I understand. I apologize. I missed the B either.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Darrell, the one thing that I shared with you when we had preliminary discussions a while ago was that I would appreciate is that you would meet with our three elected officials, the assessor, the county clerk, and the county collector, for the information that they believe would be a one-sheeter. The question that they have raised is they want to make sure that anybody who wants to get involved has due notice. I know that they will have within the petition it states itself, but they would like that more clearly defined by being on a piece of paper that's not hid on, not hid, but difficult to find on page 75 or something. And if you would work with those officers to do that, I have no opposition to moving forward, gentlemen, but I believe that we need to clear up this conflict that exists between and in the writing of number 6 and number 7. And if you would prepare a document that is agreeable or from with our three elected officials who've raised questions, and we could include that, then I would be in favor of moving forward. But
what about the 18 years of age? That's not a legal
That's what state statute calls.
State statute calls for that?
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah. I mean, that's where what I was talking, they could have done additional.
So that falls under the service worker because they can't be a property owner at that age. So that'd have to be under, like you were talking about, the server at a stand or something like that, because they couldn't be a property owner and be part of. Is that a con? I mean, is that kind of conflict?
Well, I mean, it's looking like right now you have one property owner. Yeah. But moving forward, you know, you could have 50 property owners. You could have, you know,
right.
Dozen people living out there, 18 years of age,
right.
And you could have a dozen proper or business operators that rented space. So you got a bigger pool to choose from.
Yeah.
That's just setting forth the criteria in order for the presiding commissioner to make the appointments to serve. They'd have to fit one of those criteria.
Right. I visited with Mr. Gross about this option of. And Jim, I can't remember if you were on board when we met with Mr. Hayes, who is, and as I went through this, I found his signature page here, when we made the agreements on the Round Mountain Bridge.
I think I was. It was the beginning of 09.
Okay. Did we have two different meetings that you were in on? Because this ran all the way back into two different agreements that were made by the county commission on improvements on that bridge. Did you have one meeting or two?
One,
because it may have been back into 2008 or 2000.
Yeah, I think it was just one.
Seven.
We didn't have any agreements with them. If I'm not mistaken, this is the gentleman that was looking to purchase a bridge.
Well, that's the second one. The first one.
Yeah,
was
that's the one I remember. I don't remember the first one.
The first one was a cost share, $400,000.
Yeah, that was before my time.
Okay. I'd like to add a Section 5 to the order and addendum to the order, and I visited with Mr. Gross about it earlier, and the CID shall enter into a cost-share agreement of 50% of the upgrade to Bull Creek Round Mountain Bridge prior to the new development occurring.
Okay.
And that's
basically taking the burden off the county and putting the burden on the...
Right.
The individual and this newly formed CID.
Mm-hmm. And for on a 50% cost share.
Was that something you'd be open to?
Yeah. Well, it's going to have to be done if there's any kind of development. And that has been a discussion in the past with the commission. So I think he will honor that.
As I seen the names on the signature page and everything, it brought it to my attention that we had these discussions and had two prior agreements that were never fulfilled.
Now, wasn't there also a discussion just last Thursday with Road and Bridge about this road? I mean, didn't we, and this is the same conversation we're having about that improvement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So, Daryl's marching orders are to get with each elected officials, come up with a one pager that we're going to add. We're going to add that to it. We're going to strike number 3 out of section 7.
Well,
I would recommend you do that.
I mean, it's in conflict. I'd rather just not have it in there. That we know
it's not conflict, it's just necessarily interpretation.
Okay, and I shouldn't take conflict.
My opinion, and I've been 20 years dealing in court rulings, I think the intent here was never to grant someone a dictatorial authority that's not the bona fide elected official. I think you could have put restrictions
right. A
little more definite, but I would much rather it be a clean petition that wouldn't be challenged in court, as I'm sure you all would be. I gave him the advice. He said, well, let's put it in here.
Well, okay. I mean, I can understand it. It's would be his property.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to put
it
in.
Put it all together, and he wants to have the ability to nominate anybody that would be ever in a leadership position. But
dealing with public funds, it's a different story. Last thing I want is a district form that it would be challenged if something requested.
Daryl, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be involved in Board of Equalization, although for half days on Mondays we will be meeting, with the exception of next week, it'll be Tuesday, half days in the mornings for County Commission. Would 1 week or 2 week suit you?
Either one, whatever is convenient for the Commission.
So you could be ready a week from Tuesday then?
Mm-hmm. What
you
is
mean,
Tuesday?
He means
the
Tuesday?
Fifth? Well, because Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, Monday's 4th.
So a week from Tuesday.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
So
yeah.
The 5th, I could be.
If you can get with the elected officials, we can be ready to.
Okay.
And have a cleaned up.
Well, one other step. I would like our council to review that.
After the changes?
Sure. Okay. I can get the changes modify the order, adding Danny's addendum to that, and then strike that section 3 in there. And then I'll get with a work paper with the other elected officials.
And then our council's here up in the office today, so if you haven't met with him, it'd be good to go ahead and meet with him, meet him. So.
Okay, I can do that. I can copy him, and maybe he can review ahead of time.
We will work with Nikki then, and we will advise you of a time, and we'll try to establish this for next Tuesday morning.
Is that wonderful?
Is that all right?
Yeah. Daryl, you might, as you present this additional, you might check with Road and Bridge. There was an engineering study and a cost put to a bridge that should be on file over there that would be something that they might be interested in.
Well, I think it would be good. I'm assuming that the bridge meets the county's specification.
The engineer, we had an engineering firm design it.
Okay, yeah, that'd be good. I'll get a hold of them tomorrow this time.
Yeah.
So I don't lose my verbiage. Yeah. Thank you,
gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Gross. Did we have a specific agenda request form on Castle Rock?
It's right here. I'm filling that right now.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
He's hired, what's his title? You guys title him?
Looking for his title here.
He's representing the property owners. That's all. He's not an investor or an owner. His firm is hired to facilitate the real estate transaction and this real estate becoming a part of the CID. So he's just representing the owners.
He's a consultant that's been called upon many times to help put together SIDs within the state of Missouri.
And he works for who?
Himself. Gross and Associates out of Springfield. And actually, back in the 70s and early 80s, first couple of years of the 80s, he was assessor here in Tampa County.
I put in a repost for July 5th morning. Daryl is to meet with three elected officials and to remove under serial number 7.3, strike that 7.3, and add verbiage about cost share bridge agreement.
Section 5 of his amendment.
Well, he can just put it wherever he
wants. Yeah, that's what he had.
That's what he's saying. So I'll put it there.
Okay.
I know we're a little bit early on that.
Let's move into the
HPRP.
HPRP monthly report.
Obviously, it's our monthly report here with all the detail, which is interesting. The state requires this, but one thing I just noticed of interest from a financial, we still have money in from that original grant. I was looking at some details, and we helped this grant helped 16 families get into housing this last month. So that was a good thing that we had this grant, because it did, it paid the deposits for 16 families to move in, and we still have some money left over out of the original amount.
But is it down in the $40,000 range?
We have, it's about, under the prevention side, we have, I'm just trying to look at my report here. Under the prevention side, we are looking at about $20,000, and we have about $24,000 in the rapid rehousing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right at $40,000. So, with all that, motion to approve the HPRP monthly report for the month of, make sure how he reports this, May 2011.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the HPRP monthly report for the month of May. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
I've made notes on that. Let's. We don't have anything until 7:50. I'm going to ask for a recess, sir.
Either that or start. I tell you what I'd like to do. We'll stand at recess till 9:50.